You have reached the voicemail box of Game Thing, Season 7. No clip. You have 9 new messages. Saturday, the 13th of January, 2024, at 1:12 a.m.
Hey, Pippin, it's David. Let's see if I remember how to put another one of these in the ground, because we've reached the end. And although in NoClip, walls can't stop us, time still is a factor, and it runs out for everyone, but you know how reluctant I am to force a conclusion, but maybe a good place to start is the main thing I remember. The main thing I remember when we started this, when I started us down this path off of a website you found, my inkling was that NoClip would be transgressive. That was sort of the main word in my head going in, and yet the main feeling I found myself saying again and again in many games was serene. It had sort of a calming effect on me, and I don't know why, if that was just being out from under the rules of the game, or maybe just that. But I also thought a lot about how you can't really get away from a game. A game is a game no matter how much you try to get away from it or do your own thing. And I wanted to ask, you know, was there one word that kind of sums it up for you too, or what was your word going in and how did it change? But I think that's not really the question. That's not even a way to begin to start reaching for some sort of conclusion or some sort of farewell or whatever it is we've been to whatever it is we've been doing. But I think more my question is just like, what have we been doing? You know, in the case of Echo the Dolphin, we both completed the game start to finish. I also completed Anti-Chamber without really coming across or understanding that I may have solved a single puzzle or seen one. We both got further than we did last year in Sweet Home. And so I think the question is like, for you, what has NoClip revealed? Like, I mentioned learning about NoClip as game tourism for others, but that doesn't feel right. I don't think I ever felt like I saw landmarks or anything I would recognize as a landmark. So what is NoClip? You know, were we playing games since September? Like, is this a play style or what is it? You know, what do you think we've been doing? Definitely answer for yourself, but I'm curious to hear, you know, what it sounded like I was up to on your side of the line, on the other side. All right, good night.
Saturday, the 13th of January, 2024, at 3:04 p.m.
Hey, David. Yeah, hard to believe that we're at the end of NoClipping for some reason. It's felt like a really long one. Maybe just because we have done so much wandering through the walls of these games, and I even asked ourselves, you know, are we even playing these games? This maybe has been a question on your mind especially. And I don't think I have a single word that totally sums it up, but one of the single words that surprised me a lot, because it's not something I thought about going in, is monster, which is something I think I first recognized when we played Stardew Valley. And I just had that experience of standing in the sort of black space between two domestic spaces, both of which were people's bedrooms, and just lurking there, not even intentionally. But that way in which NoClip leads you to spaces that are inappropriate or creepy, scary, kind of repellent. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I had this feeling that I was not a nice being, that I was where I shouldn't be, and that people would find me frightening. And, you know, obviously Stardew Valley is a cozy game where everybody is nice, and therefore it's obviously creepy to be in their walls. But even, you know, in Echo the Dolphin, I think about the final boss fight with the alien head thing, and the way that I was so easily able to just avoid all of its defenses and come right into its kind of bedroom and smash its jaw off and smash out its eyeballs. Again, like a monster. And, you know, we do monstrous things in games all the time, so that's not surprising. But the unfairness, I suppose, kind of in retrospect, really strikes me. Fallout 3, similar kinds of things of emerging from a wall to kill one of the raider people. Like I said, I think, I don't remember which game, but like that feeling of being like an X-Files creature, being unnatural. And some of the pathos of that too, right? Being unnatural and therefore, in a sense, being rejected by the world, as well, being an outsider and being sad in some ways. I don't know if this is, and obviously the thing I wanted to say as well is, you know, you have your serenity and I have my, my monster. I think there's a lot of, personality going in there too, right? Because I'm a monster and you're very serene, is what I'm saying, David.
Sunday, the 14th of January, 2024, at 1:41 p.m.
Hey, Pippin, it's David. I looked it up, and I guess today it's the equivalent of minus 100 Celsius degrees by you, which is something to think about when we keep talking about how much crossing boundaries in a video game may or may not mean much. There's all these sort of internalized, ingrained ways we forget that these boundaries, which are all imagined, right? Except maybe in a video game, they are real. That's a weird reversal I didn't think about. You know, they matter. And one thing I wanted to mention was there was all these other places I was thinking we might be able to go with NoClip. Like I wanted to suggest, hey, maybe we could do like a deathmatch on Doom and NoClip together and not actually fight. I also considered suggesting Pac-Man, which never quite worked right. There was a Game Genie set of codes, but I found there were like invisible mazes off screen. So like you could go leave the game but never come back to it because you were stuck in some sort of maze. Which I think speaks to the way, I mean, if you're saying monster, I'm saying serene, and I'm not saying either of us are saying that, but, you know, there's this Alan Watts quote about how people tend to resist the mystical because it's right there in the name, mist. It's misty. It's, I think maybe in our case it'd be a little more silent, hilly. I never played much of this, so I don't know if that game is foggy, but anyway, the point stands is, like, you know, it is meant to be a little unexplained or leave things open to interpretation, and it stands to reason you can't help but fill in the unexplained with how you see it or what you're choosing to do in some way standing in for what the thing is, and I don't know. I don't know if this is too far afield, but there's just a confluence of things that have come up, and my memory is just plucking it out, but I was rewatching The Crown now, and last night I saw episode 5, which is about, it's called Smoke and Mirrors, which is about Elizabeth's coronation and the abdicated Edward, the Duke of Windsor, is watching, explaining to the people he's entertaining that some of them are scoffing at the, quote, unfathomable web of arcane mystery and liturgy, symbol upon symbol, as being, quote, crazy just in the ceremony. And Edward says, who wants transparency when you can have magic? Who wants prose when you can have poetry? Pull away the veil and what are you left with? And tempting as it is to leave it there with you, I feel like this came up a lot for me in my time as a critic, which is like sometimes you play a video game and it feels like you're playing a board game or you're just sort of moving pieces around the board. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, you can speak to the space, the boundaries there, but like when you stand outside of a game, like I think this really stood out to me in like Fallout 3, and I know I messaged you about this on other channels, but a lot of this, I think, is more about standing more than personality. Like, when you stand outside of a game, you can't help but notice, like, when you can't comment on it, or, like, it's an observation that lives on within yourself, and it's a circuit that can't be completed. Like, I remember in Fallout 3, I remember coming across a Wastelander, and my only three dialogue options were, one, what is Underworld? Two, well, you're dead meat now. Give me all your stuff. Three, I don't have time to deal with this. And I just remember thinking, like, what happened to people's manners? Like, why can't I just gracefully excuse myself? Also, there was the reality that it was five people I was talking to, these Wastelanders, that were all literally the same person, and that couldn't be commented on either. But the flip of it is, like, I realized, like, I could leave that conversation, walk off into the sky, and they wouldn't really be thrown or comment on it themselves. And I get it. Like, they didn't build in options for that to happen and for that to be commented on. But I also think about it, too, and I think that's maybe how people really would cope with supernatural events, is thinking they have a handle on it and maybe not wanting to comment on it, and certainly never talking about it with strangers. That's no clip. Bye-bye.
Thursday, the 18th of January, 2024, at 3:59 p.m.
Hey, David. Sorry I haven't checked in a little while. I guess I knew you would be busy, as you are now. I really, really hope that it's not negative 100 degrees Celsius where you are, because that is really cold. I feel like that would be the temperature on the moon or something. I could be wrong. I know it's very cold. Meanwhile, here, yeah, it's like negative 13 or something like that. That's about what we're doing. Important to talk about what the temperature is. Keep each other up to date. One of the things that you said sparked off a different kind of reflection than what I'd intended to be talking about. You pointed out that you're kind of no-clipping around in Fallout 3, and one of the things that happens is you have an encounter with somebody at a sort of human level, and then you walk off into the sky, and they don't say anything, they don't even look at you, they're not capable of noticing, right? Like, I mean, we know that that's what it is from a technical standpoint, but from a world standpoint, it's weird how people don't notice what you're doing, and it kind of, in some ways, devalues what you're doing. And it's it's just yet another part of the ways in which, of course, Noclip is removing you from the world and kind of alienating you, even as it poses itself as a superpower. And maybe all superpowers are alienating in that way, anyway. But the thing that I guess that it makes me think about is, one, your comments kind of about whether or not you're in the game or not, whether you're playing the game. It also makes me think about Noclip website, the difference between looking at the literal geometry of a world and its textures versus being in the vicinity of the gameplay in some sense. And just the different ways in which no-clipping is a form of removal, but spun in a kind of positive way. I keep thinking to myself how there's design potential here. And maybe this has been done. I think that one of the Backrooms games, or maybe all of them, uses noclip by default. But the thought of designing to noclip is something that's occurred to me many times over our conversations about these games. The idea that the world would be designed with noclip in mind, that if you go inside a rock to kind of pretend to be a rock, maybe you could suddenly start hearing the rock's thought processes. Or you walk off into the sky and the person freaks out and runs away or hails you as the new messiah, that the world would be capable of responding to your no-clippiness, your superpower, and that you wouldn't feel so alienated. You'd feel interested in how you relate to the world and how the world relates back to you. Back to you.
Friday, the 19th of January, 2024, at 10:39 a.m.
Hey, Pippin. Sorry, I felt a sneeze coming on. Yes, weather, very important to be discussing. I'm going to look outside and just give you the latest. Yeah, it's cold out. So, I'm trying to think, and I guess, like, if there's one big question I have for you is, I guess, like, maybe the big thing that keeps popping up for us, even as recently as your last message, is, does Noclip show us ways in which we, controlling a character, are or are not the center of the game's universe, or does it reveal some sort of illusion? Or I honestly was wondering, like, I was watching a video last night on a Silent Hill map examiner, which lets you not only, I wasn't expecting this to be so on theme with with weather, it not only allows you to turn off the fog, I'll send you the video, but you can't turn off the snow for whatever reason, but you can sort of just see the things that we saw in Antichamber, which is the way in which the world around you is just a bunch of brightly colored lines that you're having. I don't know, you know the technical side of it more than me, you know, like just these flat surfaces or curved surfaces with textures mapped over them. Now I've already lost my train of thought. That's how cold it is. I've lost my train of thought. But no, I wonder if, like, does it tell you anything about how games are constructed? Because, oh, right, yeah. So the train of thought. I was trying to figure out, like, is the phrase "even that Noclip lets you see behind the curtains" even accurate? Or is there something else that we're looking into? Or I try to not speak in things that could be interpreted as puns because, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I mean, obviously walking through walls, it's become this very mundane thing for us, even flying off into the sky or going to the core, the limits of the depths of the environment that we're in. It's become rather mundane. And I had said earlier, you know, Noclip seems to have stopped existing, or it's only been present in games from before a certain point, and it's much more of a rarity now. And I wonder, I mean, what does that say about game worlds that we seem to occupy now in contemporary times versus decades ago? And do you feel, as a person who plays games too, does it say something, or does it cast us in a different sort of anchored position in these environments? You know, were we the center of the universe and now we aren't, or are we the center of the universe now? We understand in the past that was an illusion. Yeah, I think that's it. Sorry, sort of a morning ramble. But when it's this cold out, you can't help but ramble, you know?
Friday, the 19th of January, 2024, at 3:43 p.m.
Hey, David. Giving you a call in the afternoon. Montreal's looking quite lovely out my window. It's a very cold, crisp day out there. I could feel the cold through my shoes today, which was a first of this particular winter. And yeah, does Noclip tell us anything about how games are constructed is, I think, a good question, something that we've probably been circling around with these different games that we've been playing. And I think, I mean, my answer is yes, yes, yes. My answer is yes, but I do wonder whether it's only if you already make games, like that you already know stuff about how games are constructed, and so Noclip is letting you see evidence of things that you know about. I mean, you would have to answer that question a little bit as well, because you don't make a lot of games. Do you think that you're learning things about how games are constructed? From my perspective, there are a bunch, I guess, of moments across the games we talked about. One that oddly stands out to me is on NoClip website when we were looking at GTA San Andreas, there was a moment, incredibly small, maybe incredibly not worth talking about, but I was floating at about pavement level, sidewalk level, and I was looking at the doors of houses, and at one point I got alongside the staircase leading up to a door. And it was that classic thing. I was seeing the side of the stairs, which were not visible in the actual game. I was only seeing them because I was inside a wall, and the texture on the side of the stairs was all wrong. It was all of these diagonal lines leading from the bottom corner of the stairs out to all of the edges of the stairs, so it created this kind of fan pattern, which is not what stairs look like. And that was one of those moments of just like, oh yeah, look at that, the texture's messed up. The way the texture is rendering out is like this, because you don't need to see that particular thing, so they weren't worried about it. But there's lots of other stuff. I think there's this general experience, particularly with the 3D games, where you're just looking at the world from outside the world. And that's very, very familiar to anyone, I think, who's worked with a 3D game engine, where you're spending your time kind of flying around in space, looking at the world from all of these perspectives that the player will never see, from underneath the ground or from high in the sky, or, you know, floating around over the water like a god. And you know, we've both run into the way that so many things in games are empty or hollow or thin, the ways that the faces of objects, their surfaces are one-sided, that you can see through them. All of these things are about the constructiveness of games and the nature, especially, I guess, of 3D geometry. But, like, bigger picture as well, I think there's just this kind of seeing as geometry that happens when you noclip, that you just perceive the world as a set of geometry because you're not really there, like we've been talking about. You're distanced, you're not here to play. And in that way, you know, I've thought about it as alienating, or I've thought about it as being a monster, but it's also like being a designer or a developer of the game. You're just not here to play. You're here to look at it and think about how it all works.
Saturday, the 20th of January, 2024, at 2:03 p.m.
Hey, Pippin. It's David. Saturday. Earth, human, and is it just me, or has this game of phone tag been going on an absurdly long amount of time? Sorry I missed you, and sorry you missed me, and so this, and what I was going to say initially, reminds me of, I won't say the name of the publication because I don't remember, but it was some video game website, and I want to say it was about Horizon Zero Dawn, which I don't know if you've played it, I haven't played it, what the game is doesn't really matter here, but there's something about what you're saying, what we're saying to each other, what I have to say, it sort of echoes this thing I read where the writer, who doesn't make games, they were shocked, and it was written up as a news piece, that they had learned, that they had apparently thought it was some novel trick in an open world game, that the game engine doesn't keep the world behind you in its memory in some way, or I think largely what it amounted to is several hundred words of an adult rediscovering peekaboo, or how object permanence works in games, and I don't know how games are made. But I remember the writer getting kind of slagged and mocked, and even the mention of peekaboo there isn't me making fun. I think it was like some developers were angry that this game was getting credited with some programming quote-unquote trick, and other developers were insisting this is such a well-known thing in game development that it's no longer any sort of trick at all, that it's sort of a tool of the trade. And it got me thinking about this passage in a book I started reading last night, which is probably... more white peekaboo came to mind. So it's called Nasty, Brutish, and Short: Adventures in Philosophy with Kids. I think the title explains what it is, but it says grown-ups and kids do philosophy in different ways. Adults are more disciplined thinkers. Kids are more creative. Adults know a lot about the world, but kids can help them see how little they actually know. Kids are curious and courageous, where adults tend to be cautious and closed down. And I could go on about how Well, no, I don't think NoClip taught me anything about how games are constructed, or that was, I think what I asked that was more my way of asking whether you, or maybe only people who make games, if they might pick up on that, like how these game worlds are constructed, if NoClip is an insight into that. But I don't think I can necessarily, at least so far yet, say what NoClip has taught me in the last few months that I didn't already know in the 90s when I was NoClipping in Doom or Heretic or Hexen or whatever. And, you know, even in my last message, I was caught up in language about, is it backstage? Is it behind the curtain? I keep wanting to somehow equate games with real space as a way of understanding, and I'm not sure that that's it. And this morning I was thinking about maybe playing NoClip, or coming from playing without NoClip to now playing video games 99% of the time, playing games with NoClip on, I think in a way, and I don't know if this is just generous or grasping, but I think in some way it resembles sort of a leap of, like, or a similar jump at least, or the chasm from how you used to see people speak in silent movies versus when they had to start moving their lips in talkies, which is sort of a jump from, like, lips being mundanely reduced to one-to-one speaking from something much more impressionistic. But I don't know. I feel like I can keep grasping at metaphors, and I don't know if there's anything there that sticks. And I always say this stuff hoping maybe it'll bring something out in your mind. But for me, I feel like it kind of broke my brain a bit. And I don't know if it's just, you know, life the last couple of months, all the travel I've been doing, other things going on. I just feel like what NoClip has taught me is just how much in video games players are rats and mazes. And maybe designers always think that way, even if they wouldn't describe it in that way. But one thing I keep thinking about was how NoClipping in Zelda, the game became another genre. Like, not a new genre, but just another one that already existed. It went from, you know, an overhead exploration, careful adventure, to a more reckless and chaotic shmup or bullet hell thing. And that's not something I ever would have guessed NoClip had in store for us going in. But coming out of it on the other end, I think you're right that with NoClip, we are not here to play. You know, it's a set of developer tools, and even if we're entering cheat codes to do it, it still mirrors that function of what developers are doing. So, do I feel like I'm learning anything about how games are constructed? No. But maybe it's about as much as the coding season taught me, you know, with how to code. But you tell me, you know, is NoClip maybe more profound for people who already create games, or is that not the way to think about profundity? Because it's sort of always a journey we're on, and I honestly would be skeptical if you ever think about thinking you get satisfied and feeling like you arrived anywhere. I feel like we're always missing something. But, you know, playing NoClip, what evidence of things did you already know about? Maybe you saw your knowledge got deepened, or in the inverse, where did you learn maybe there wasn't that much depth where you thought there might be? Sorry, I missed you. Bye.
Saturday, the 20th of January, 2024, at 2:23 p.m. Monday, the 22nd of January, 2024, at 9:59 p.m.
Hey, David. Yeah, so sorry I missed you. Oh, did I learn stuff? Is it more profound? What did I see? What evidence of things did I see? You know, I mean, this was one of my favorite bits about NoClip. Because for me, there were, I don't know, moments of kind of communing with, I guess, the designers or the world builders or just the, you know, the folks who make these things. One of the ones that stood out to me, and like these are banal realizations maybe, but it was pleasing to have them in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. One of the things I kept thinking about, I guess maybe especially because I was comparing it to Counter-Strike, which we looked at in the preseason, both of these on noclip.website, in kind of flying around in GTA, it was striking me how everything is textured in that game. Like the roof of a very tall building is textured and has geometry and stuff on it. All of these places that seem inaccessible are accessible. You know, GTA has a jetpack, for example, and this is true in the Talos Principle too. The incredible level of just detail everywhere, up high, down low, too slow. it's just everything's textured and everything's got geometry, and in that case, I assume it's because of photo mode. You know, the players are going to be able to add, like, align themselves in interesting ways. Yeah, just that idea that you're taking on a big responsibility when you want to make a consistent, cohesive, linked-up world like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or like the Talos Principle 2. There's a different kind of responsibility, a different kind of godly responsibility involved there. Unlike something like Counter-Strike where, you know, you would float up to the top of a building and the geometry would simply not be there, for example. There would just be holes in it, or there wouldn't be a texture, or whatever. You can cut corners because you know where the players are going to be. And then the other thing I keep thinking about is how dangerous Noclip was at different times. You know, my Rube Goldberg experiences in Doom of just being catapulted around these different areas by imps and dude bros from hell and lava. Or, you know, as you said, how Zelda turned into a bullet hell, or how we were ejected from Sweet Home. Maybe most iconically for me, I loaded a game at one point in Fallout 3, and Noclip is off by default, and I had saved my game while I was many, many, many meters or yards in the sky, and I just started falling as soon as the game started, and hit the ground with a sickening crunch that only Fallout 3 can generate, and I was dead. And it made me think a little bit about Icarus flying too close to the sun and how you should be careful what you wish for. Night, David.
End of messages. Thank you for calling Game Thing. For more information or to leave us a voicemail, please hang up and dial gamething.life. Consider supporting Game Thing at patreon.com/othergamethings. Your call is important to us. While you hold for the next season, consider supporting Game Thing at patreon.com/othergamethings. Goodbye.